I know that my grandmother told me she got very upset at one point because one of her sons, one of my uncles, wanted to marry an Ashkenazi girl. But, I think that broke off. There were more Ashkenazim in Cairo. In fact, the Ashkenazim had their own synagogue there, whilst there was no sort of Ashkenazi temple or oratory in Alexandria. We were a very strong Jewish identity. We did not keep a kosher home. In fact, my parents would not eat pork, but they ate shellfish at home also. But my father was a regular synagogue attender, would go every Saturday to synagogue, yeah. And we held all the festivals, Pesach and Yom Kippur and all that. And even because we were members at the main Alexandria synagogue, the Eliyahu HaNavi, but on Yom Kippur, we would go to a smaller synagogue, which was within walking distance. Because my father would not walk on Yom Kippur. I've got a personal question, is am I a Sephardi or, if you look at my parents' family who come from Corfu and originally from Venice, was my family Sephardim who actually came from Spain, or would we have been Italian Jews, came with Titus as slaves? And of course, my mother's family, Aleppo, they were pure Mizrahim. Mizrahim is the Jews from, Mizrahi means the East in Hebrew. So generally speaking, Mizrahim are referred to as the Jews who never went to Spain. They scattered after the destruction of the temples, but remained in North Africa or Iraq or Persia or wherever. But actually, because strictly speaking, Sephardim are the ones who actually went to Spain.
Well, I have to tell you that I was brought up in the family until I was 9 years old. And then we went to Switzerland, and I was in a Catholic boarding school until 19 years old. So my tradition was to come back home for Pesach or Yom Kippur or days like this. And we used to cook some Sephardic cooking. My mother used to cook. But in fact, I was not brought up in the real Jewish tradition. I feel Jewish, but I think I was also lucky to be brought up in Switzerland in that school. And then when I came back to Turkey, so because I knew all about Christianity, and then I came to Turkey, I came back to Turkey when I got married, and then there's this Muslim world. So I think I feel like knowing about different religions quite well, but I'm not really a religious person or that's it. I feel Jewish, but not specially Sephardic tradition. My Jewish identity is connected with that because I was a Turkish Jew who was representing Turkey abroad. I represent Turkey in United States, in England. When I did this monument here in the Cass Business School, the Turkish ambassador came for the opening. I was introduced to the Queen. So this was, it doesn't happen to a Jewish artist in Turkey, but there's not so many, especially women, Turkish, Jewish, to have so many exhibitions abroad and monuments and some honors here and there. And I felt quite proud of that.
I'm not involved with none of them. Because, see, involvement requires kind of belonging to, like, a synagogue. Or I used to belong to the Masorti. But I find religious activity very tedious and very imprecise, spirituality. And it doesn't satisfy me to be in a community that read books that they don't even have an understanding of what they're reading. Sorry, I mean, how can you do it and think that this is holy? So I find the services very tedious, in a way, quite a waste of time. Sorry. but saying that, I mean, my life is very full of musicians and full of music, and lots of my friends are performing musicians, and that includes my wife. She's a professional pianist. So through the music, I get a lot of Jewish, Middle Eastern fusions. I think I belong a little bit out of the box, where my perceptions are not conventionals in the real time. I mean, because my world, I try to introduce as much as infinity as possible and to acknowledge it. And that increases my respect and awareness. So, and add to this Hillel's famous saying, don't do to others what you hate most. Then you sort it. Do this and you have heaven. Infinite inspiration. Because it's infinite.
My Turkish allegiance, my Turkish loyalty, my Turkish identity has declined, unfortunately. Today, I follow very closely four countries. Britain, where I'm living, Turkey, where I used to live, Israel, because I'm very much connected with Israel. I've always had a Havale Israel for a long time. I will tell you more about it. And France, where my daughter lives. So, you know, it's in between these four countries and all that. I've got maybe less allegiance towards Turkey, but I still love Turkey very much. Food, culture, people there are still very hospitable, as you probably found out in your trips and all that. And people in Turkey generally are still naive and good-natured. They are good-natured, except that their leaders sometimes want to take them to other directions. So you see, my philosophy in life was, in that respect, quite balanced. Let me tell you this: the following. After the war, the Jewish community in Turkey numbered about 80,000. It was a big community. I mean, this was the remnants of the Ottoman Empire, of course. At the time of the Ottoman Empire, they had 200,000 Jews. But these included the Jews in Greece and some of the Jews in Palestine, of course. But now 80,000 was in Turkish Republic after the war. Now, during the war, I wouldn't say that the Jews suffered tremendously, except one incident of the wealth tax. I don't know if people are aware of this wealth tax. When the Nazis invaded occupied Greece and they were on the Turkish border, Bulgaria and Greece, in 1942, the Turkish parliament made a wealth tax. This wealth tax was the subject of this wealth tax were the minorities, but mainly the Jews. It was very arbitrary wealth tax. There was a very big small committee who said, okay, Moshe, we'll give him 50,000 liras that he's got to pay 50,000. No, Moshe, I saw him yesterday. He has got a very nice coat. Let him pay 80,000 liras. No, let him pay 100,000 liras. Complete arbitrary. And the Jews were subject to this wealth tax. Most of them went bankrupt because they couldn't sell their belongings. They couldn't sell their their property during wartime in 1942, and many Jews had to go in 1942 to the eastern side of Turkey, eastern region of Turkey, to a quarry, stone quarry, to break stones. It wasn't a concentration camp. It wasn't a death camp. But 90% people who went there, 90% were Jews, 10% was Armenians and Greeks. Mainly it was against the Jews to show to the Nazis that they were not tolerating the Jews in Turkey when the Nazis were killing them all over Europe and all that. So this went on for about 9 months, the wealth tax. This is an imprint on the Turkish mind, on the Jewish mind in Turkey, tremendously. After the wealth tax destroyed the belief and the confidence that Jews had in the new Turkish Republic. That's why right after Israel's foundation in 1948, about 50,000 Jews left Turkey to go to Palestine, to go to Israel, and they are mainly established in the south of Tel Aviv, everywhere and all that. There were about, when I grew up, there were about 25, 30,000 Jews in Turkey. But we had our hospital, we had our newspaper, we had our clubs, youth clubs and all that. We still could marry with other Jews. You could have enough Jewish partners and all that. Now, unfortunately, the Jews in Turkey have declined to about 11,000. Of course, in the past 10 years, with rising anti-Israelism, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitism, many Jews have migrated to France, Israel mainly, of course, North America and Britain, and also Germany, quite a few to Germany. So this is probably one of the last important Jewish communities in the Islamic world.
I think, like it or not, over the years, people have either become Israeli and immersed in Israeli culture, or British, or wherever they are. And the whole issue of being Sephardi has taken a very back step. I think maybe now with Brexit, people suddenly going to be discovering their Sephardi roots, because I've heard of people who are applying in Israel and even here in the UK for a Sephardic passport. And suddenly that's coming to the fore. I think until then, I don't know how many people raise their children in Ladino. I think there's less and less who do. I didn't. My main concern was to raise my children speaking Hebrew. They obviously knew English, but I wanted them to speak Hebrew, so Ladino wasn't there. Wasn't a consideration. And I think that's, I guess, part of the sad story, is that it's like dying, as far as I'm concerned. To be honest, a truly Sephardi living being was my grandmother. I think she was the last one. My father, over the years, you know, moved on, and so we did here. So